Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Lucas. I'm a master's student at the University of Florida. And today I'm going to talk about the effect of cabbage planting data and plant population on biomass accumulation, marketable yield, and irrigation water use efficiency. So Florida is the second largest cabbage producer for a fresh market. We're just behind of California. And this crop has an annual value over $58 million, which represents around 5% of the total Florida vegetable production. We currently have 10,500 acres of cabbage in Florida, and the range of planting days among the growers goes from September until December, which makes the harvesting starts on mid-December until mid-April, late April. So the traditional system irrigation is a seepage irrigation, which has a low irrigation efficiency and requires a large amount of water to be applied to the field in order to supply the water needed to the plants. So the pump water to these open furrows are artificially raising the water table until it reaches the root zone. The system causes offside movement of soluble nutrients, and also there is a non-uniform water distribution. So you can imagine the rows of cabbage closer to the furrows receive a lot of more water than the rows in the middle of the field. The agriculture represents the largest freshwater withdrawal in Florida. It's inevitable that in the future, new regulations, new laws will be created in order to decrease not just the water applied in agricultural areas, but also the fertilization amount. So it's going to be a big challenge for the growers to decrease this water and this fertilizer and keep their business profitable. That's where our research jumps in. We are refining some of the best management practices in order to adjust the cabbage production for a more efficient way to use water and nutrients. So in this study, we're focusing on nutrient and water management with the use of plastic culture. The plastic culture is a combination of the drip irrigation, plastic mulch, and fertigation. This system has a high irrigation efficiency and provides a greater soil moisture uniformity in the root zone, which is ideal. This system also reduces the potential nutrient leaching. And using the plastic mulch, we're going to reduce our soil water evaporation, keeping the moisture in the bed. And also we're going to decrease the herbicide application because we're going to suppress the weed competition. So here's some pictures showing the seepage. The top picture shows, again, the water being pumped through the furrows. And the bottom one shows the single rows of cabbage with 1 meter space in between rows. The plastic culture, the top two pictures show the 1.2 meter wide beds with either three rows of cabbage or 4 rows of cabbage with the spacing between sand of each bed of 2 meters. And the bottom picture is just how the crop looks like later in the season. So the objective of this study was to evaluate the marketable cabbage yield, the biomass accumulation, evaluate the irrigation water use efficiency, and also monitor the nitrogen dynamics. The research was conducted in Hastings, Florida, in the UF Research Station farm. The cultivar used for cabbage was a Bravo, and our experimental design was a split plot with randomized complete block design for replications of treatment. So my treatments consisted in the combination of planting dates and planting spacing. Our planting dates were September, October, November, and December. And the planting spacing, we selected 4 rows of cabbage with the row spacing of 25, 30, and 35 centimeters. So here's an overview of the area of the experiment. We divided the field in 4 blocks. And within each block, we randomly assigned the planting dates. And within each planting date, we randomly assigned the planting spacing. For biomass collection, we took 2 plants per plot every 2 weeks. I always collect 1 plant for inside row, the other for outside row. For soil samples, we collect every 3 weeks in 3 different depths, 0 to 15, 15 to 30, and 30 to 6 centimeters. To calculate our irrigation water use efficiency, we divide the marketable yield in grams per square meter over the water applied to produce the yield in millimeters. The results for irrigation water use efficiency was in kilograms per cubic meter. Irrigation, we had two drip tape lines running underneath the plastic mulch, as represented by the yellow arrows. All the planting dates passed through establishment period, where they received the same amount of water for 20 days. And after these 20 days, the volume of water applied to irrigation was adjusted weekly, based on the previous week ET. It was used two coefficient, crop coefficient in this irrigation calculation. The first was 0.7, and it was used until the crop covered the entire plastic mulch. After that, we switched to 1.1, and it was used until the rest of the season. This is the formula used, ETO times coefficient over the efficiency. For our harvest, we had two harvests for each planting date, which is a common practice among the growers because not all of the cabbage heads reach the marketable size at the same time. So in order to have the best yields, the best profit, is necessary to do two harvests. Here are some results. This graph shows the biomass accumulation kilograms per hectare in the y-axis, and the x-axis the days after transplanting. So we see that September achieved the highest biomass accumulation with around 10,000 kilograms per hectare. Then we had October with around 8,000 kilograms per hectare. And November and December were pretty similar, around 60,000 kilograms per hectare. So these results can be explained by the weather conditions experienced by each planting day. In this graph, we have the colored areas is the growing degree days accumulation for each of the planting dates. And the black line represents the solar radiation throughout the entire season. So we can see the September, October experienced the higher temperatures as well as higher solar radiation comparing to December and November. So those conditions allow the greatest growth of the plants in the first two planting dates comparing to November and December. For marketable yield, the planting date and the planting spacing were significant. However, the interaction between them was not. For planting date, October achieved the highest marketable yield, then September, November, and December. It was expected to have the similar marketable yields for all of the planting dates. But for disease problems and plant establishing problems, November and December got the marketable yields dropped. For planting spacing, the wider in-row spacing achieved the highest marketable yield with 55,000 tons per hectare, followed by 30 and 25 centimeters. So here's information from the Florida Aviary Yield for a seepage system. They, in 2011, 2012, they had 38.1 tons per hectare. So we achieved kind of quite good yields in this first year of study. Here's a table for the irrigation water use efficiency. In this table, we have the rain for all of the planting dates, the yield in grams per square meter, the water applied in millimeters, and the irrigation water use efficiency. So we divided the marketable yield by the water applied to the irrigation. November achieves the highest irrigation water use efficiency. Here I want to highlight the differences in water apply in the first two planting dates comparing to the last two. So the first two, we apply almost 100 millimeters more of water. So why did that happen? This is a graph. The blue line represents the ET throughout the entire season, and the red line represents the solar radiation. So you can see from November until end of January, the ET dropped, and that's why we apply less water. Here's some results for the total mineral nitrogen in the soil. And the y-axis have the concentration milligrams per kilogram. And the x-axis will have the date. The black arrows represent the four irrigation events. In my trial, we did just four instead of 12, as Charles did. So we can see in the beginning of the season, we had a higher concentration of nitrogen in the top layer, 0 to 15, which is represented by the red bar. But as you go throughout the season, there's a decrease in this nitrogen in the top layer. And the concentration in the bottom two layers keep constant, so which is ideal. We're keeping the nitrogen in the root zone. But just after 3 weeks after the last fertigation event, that we see the drop in the all the concentrations in all the layers. And the last data is a lot long time after the season, just to see how much nitrogen is still had in the soil. So for conclusions, the biomass accumulation is directly related to air temperature and solar radiation. So having higher temperatures and higher solar radiation, we're going to increase our biomass. The plastic culture was viable practice for a whole range of planting dates. So the marketable yields achieved in this study show that the plastic culture is very promising for cabbage production. And there is no interaction between planting dates and planting spacing. So using the wiring rope and planting spacing is the best for all the planting dates. With this, I'd like to acknowledge the USDA FDX Block Grant, the UF Hastings Research Station crew, Dr. Lincoln Zottarelli for the orientation and supervision, and all my lab mates, which helped me a lot in this first year. With this, I finish and open to questions.
Thank you, Lucas. We still have some time for questions.
So would you, for these November and December planting dates, you seem to have a much lower yield potential. Would you recommend or receive recommendations changing in the future to reduce nitrogen application rates for those planting dates to increase efficiency?
Well, I would not say decrease the nitrogen application. What happens is the November and December was the most promising planting dates because cabbage is a cold weather crop. So what happened is we had such a high incidence of disease which dropped these yields. So I think if we did not have this disease, we could have a lot of higher yields, marketable yields. And for December, we had pretty much one row of all of the four rows, the plants didn't grow at all. So we pretty much harvested just three rows of cabbage. So we had better plant establishment in December, we could achieve a lot of higher yields.
What disease?
Oh, I don't know which one is that, because of the farmer who were taking care of that, but I don't have in mind right now, but I can take a look on this.
How many, are there any commercial acres on plastic for cabbage and flour?
There is no commercial area. Charles did some demonstrations this year, 5 acres of cabbage, but it's still working on the adjustments to make a real recommendation. We cannot just tell them that it's good. We need to work on all the things to make a good recommendation.
Is there a potential for double cropping? I mean, your September planting day looked like it was out by December.
Yeah.
Or is the disease pressure too much by that time?
Well, there's a potential for a second crop. It's just a matter of how the plastic mulch is going to be good or not to use it. You know, we experienced some rip-up of the plastic after some time because of the weather condition was hot. But definitely there's a potential for a second crop and decrease the cost of the plastic culture. Yeah.
So do you know why that happened?
Yeah. So cabbage is a cold crop out of cold season, and it's believed that to start a head formation it's necessary some cold temperatures. So in September we experienced such a high temperatures it took a little bit longer to formate the head, which not happened in October. So that's the reason why we had better yields in October than December. The high temperatures and the higher solar radiation promote the vegetative growth, the rapid leaves instead of head formation.
Do